This is Power Talk 1040. Join us just around noontime. I'm Coach Chris. You're listening to The Cerebral Edge, where we give you the edge to be 1% better every day. And that's what I do with a lot of my clients. I'm a strength and conditioning coach here in Colorado Springs. Help people not only just physically, but also neurologically to get their muscles firing in the right order. So that way they get a better workout. Located at Champion Health Associates. It's where I work out of, helping people all the time. And the reason why I make people 1% better is because by the end of the year, you're going to be 365% better at the end of the year. How does that sound to you? Well, the other thing I do is I have a lot of friends in this business, and I have one sitting right across from me today. His name is Joe Ruggiero, and he's back by popular demand. Had him on the show a couple of times before, but welcome back.
Thank you, Chris.
How's everything going?
It's going well, man. Going well. Loving the change of the weather. You know, it's that time of year, and just getting out there and enjoying the workouts in the park a little bit more.
Nice. What's your favorite park workouts that you got going on?
Honestly, I love doing. I love when I can get like a good 3 to 6 people, and we're doing a lot of mixed. So we got some, say, bag slamming, we got some bag flipping, we got farmer carries, and we got some kickboxing. Mix it all up together.
Yeah, that's fun stuff.
Yeah, man, you got to keep it fresh.
Yeah, I train these guys here at the radio station here, and, you know, walking in, you know, there's ledges and stuff like that. My mind just goes crazy with different things that they could be doing, like step-ups and things like that, because people oftentimes think that, you know, you have to go to the gym to get a good workout or to get resistance training in. That's kind of what I talked about a little bit last time. Last episode, I talked about strength and longevity and about grip strength, right?
Yeah.
And just getting in primal movements like squatting and pulling and stuff like that and working grips such as farmer's carries as you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, grip strength is real important. I feel just for the aspect of the quality and the workout that you can get. You know, if you're not worried about your grip holding on to things so much, you're going to be able to focus more on the workout at hand that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, training a few people that lacking that grip strength that you're talking about, we were focusing more on forearms burning and hands kind of letting loose. So we weren't really focusing, say, something as simple as like a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to focus on the back with that, you know, a little bit of bicep in there, but really focus on that pullback. When we're focusing on our grip and our forearms burning so much, it takes away from what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I like to have other personal trainers in my circle so we can help bounce ideas off each other. So one thing that Joe was telling me about today was about cardio and conditioning and things like that. And maybe this weekend, you guys are out there hiking some mountains, getting your cardio in. But Joe had a really interesting take on getting some better cardio in. Tell me about that. Tell the listeners about that a little more.
Yeah, so we were talking about, you know, running. And running is not like something I'm a big fan of. Most people really aren't a big fan of running, to be honest, from what I get back for feedback. And I've been doing a lot of like research with myself and trying to figure out what is the best way to combine workouts to be able to have that ability to run 5-6 miles without training it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I came up with was something that I don't know if anybody follows Liver King, or there's quite a few people out there. Liver King does he's kind of a crazy guy, but he does a lot of weighted hikes, all different ways, chains, kettlebells, mm-hmm. sometimes all together, even with a sled.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I kind of followed on to his stuff later on, but even before that, I was working on my grip, just doing carries and stuff, and then I came up with this combo where I do weighted hikes for about 10 minutes, working on that grip, and you work your way up. The more weight, of course, the more demand on your body, but also really demand on your posture. You know, you start to notice your lower back, your core starting to work together, you know, your traps, your even your biceps, all that. Everything is working all together at once when you're doing weighted carries. So think about how much that's taking you to be able to keep moving. The amount of endurance it takes to walk 10 minutes carrying, like what I'm doing, 35-pound kettlebells each side. I do 10 minutes of that. Then I just run at a good clip for 5 minutes. Then I do another 5 minutes of weighted carries. Then I go back and do 10 minutes of a good clip of running. So ideally, I only do 15 minutes of running twice a week, and I could still get my 6 miles in whenever I want.
So you're just ready to go. That's great. So, and here's the other thing, guys. If you're just starting out, like I started doing this 10-minute, just 35-pound kettlebell walks, farmer carries. And it's okay to set the weight down and then pick it back up wherever you're at, and then eventually just build yourself up, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you just start with, say, a minute. Walk a minute with that. You don't even have to start with 35 pounds. I would recommend everybody start with like around 10, 15 just to see how it feels. But even with the 10, 15, you'll notice your grip will fatigue fast at first. So put it down a minute. Put it down 2 minutes in and then jump back on it in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Try to work your way up more and more. Every time you do it, try to add 10 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever you can. It will increase substantially just due to it being such a natural movement. And there's so many combinations of muscle growth, I feel, within that, that you will be up around that 35 pounds before you know it, honestly.
That's very interesting. Last time we had you on, we were talking about hydration. We were talking about fueling our bodies. And you wanted to come back on because you had some pretty good insights on mindful eating?
Yeah, so just being mindful of your food. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of what I see out there with people is they don't even know how food changes their body or how they're reacting to what they're eating. So what I mean by that is like the first thing, say mindful of your food. Well, what is it to be mindful of your food? So are you paying attention to how like your energy levels are, how your focus is after you eat, say, McDonald's? You know, honestly, you eat McDonald's, you probably want to go home and take a nap.
You know, or maybe, the bathroom.
Or go to the bathroom.
I run to the bathroom screaming after that stuff.
Yeah, like seriously, barely made it home. So like, or say you ate a nice steak, some roasted vegetables, and a baked potato. And now you feel like that's for lunch. You feel like you could take on the world by 2 o'clock. You know, that's the type of mindfulness I'm saying when it comes to food. Like a lot of people have a very disconnect when it comes to emotions and the way that you can think in food. Mm-hmm. Food has every bit of reaction to your hormones, to your energy levels, to the way that pretty much your entire body works is going to be influenced by what you eat, and that we've become so disconnected from that, it's kind of sad. You know, like people will say to me, oh, I don't have any energy. I'll ask them what they ate. And they had in the morning, you'd have a chocolate milk with some, you know, glaze-covered donuts. Well, that doesn't sound like it has any energy in it at all. You know what I mean? Think
about it. Does for about 30 seconds. And then you're ready to go to sleep.
And then you're crashing. So within that is just thinking and feeling your food. Is really what I like to kind of put out there for everybody. Really, like even if you have to bring it down to just eating some chicken, see how you feel 2 hours after that. I mean, when some of my clients that I work with, when they're like, Joe, I really don't know what it is to feel my food. Okay, so now we're going to start doing things separately. Mm. Like, I just want you to try for lunch today, just eat a chicken breast. That's it. Just eat that chicken breast. See how you feel. Oh, wow. Like, I felt like I had tons of energy. I felt like I could focus at work better, or I could do more things with my kids, or I wasn't as irritated. I wasn't as frustrated. I wasn't as depressed or have anxiety. All those things are affected by your food. So if you really want to start figuring out your food, take it slow like that. Have a chicken breast or say just eat some vegetables. Just eat some fruit. See what way your emotions go.
See how – so it's just – basically taking a piece of food, right?
Yeah.
Eating it 2 hours later, see how you feel.
Exactly.
Right.
And you're going to want to give it about that long, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Really start paying attention about that time.
You're going to know if your stomach starts growling or gets upset or if you start getting lethargic.
Yeah. Okay. And like we talked about before, very being mindful, like if your stomach starts growling, maybe that wasn't enough food or the food wasn't quality enough for you. Say like you eat a burger at McDonald's, your stomach's probably going to be growling an hour and a half in. You know what I mean? There's nothing there that's quality that your body wants to take in.
One of the first times I started really paying attention to food. This was a long time ago. It was about probably 15 years ago. And I decided to start having baked potato for dinner the night before a heavy training session. And I felt so much more powerful the next day just from adding in a baked potato with my, you know, meat and stuff like that. And before that, you know, it might have been, you know, meat and, you know, rice or something like that, which rice I think is great.
Yeah.
But somebody was telling me that the potato had just a ton more potassium in it. So then all of a sudden it's going to help with glycogen storage.
Yep.
Or you know, that's how your muscles basically get fuel is glycogen. Mm-hmm. And they take in sugars that's inside your body, take it in the muscle. So that way your muscle has all this ability to have contractibility and to be able to be strong.
100%.
So it's really interesting when you just add a food or take one away, the difference you actually feel when you pay attention, and that's the key, right?
Yes. Paying attention, too, will give you more, I want to say, like, more of a focus into why you don't want to do it. It won't be like, oh, I don't drink soda because my trainer said don't drink soda. Now, that's not going to stay with you as well as your own experience with that soda and how it drags you down and how that affected you, say, when you were trying to play with the kids in the yard and you just ended up wanting to just sit on the patio and watch them, you know, versus tossing the ball. Like, that's going to be more powerful than just your trainer saying, don't do this, don't do that. If you are paying attention to how you are reacting to your foods.
It's like telling your kid not to eat the dessert first, right?
But yes.
When we come back, Joe has some interesting topics to talk about when we return. What are those, Joe?
So I wanted just to get into, like, how to think of it. Like, how... So I feel we can go through our day thinking of our food, and then you become what you eat.
Excellent. We'll be right back. And we are back with the Cerebral Edge, where we give you the edge to be 1% better. Because remember, those 1% add up by the end of the year. You are not just 100% better, but 365% better. And the tips from Joe Ruggiero today... You're probably going to be 20% better today, actually, right? And we're talking about the pie hole, things you put in your mouth.
Yeah, so like we were saying earlier about, you know, feeling out your food and stuff, I wanted to get into, like, how to approach your food, how to think about it, what you want to have run through your mind before you make that order, you know, or go to the grocery store and pick it up. So I love to use this analogy for people to kind of compare themselves, because it's an easy comparison. Now, you have a Mercedes, an Audi, a Porsche, whatever that is. What kind of fuel do you put in that car?
Better not be 87.
It better not be 87. Right? You put the high test, the 93 in there. And if anything, you want to go above that because you want that car to run at the highest performance level that it can because it's quality. Mm-hmm. So, or looking at it, would you rather be a Ford Focus where you can put whatever type of fuel you want in it and it just gets around, gets you from point A to point B, but it's not really stylish. There's no real quality in it. Things keep falling apart on it, you know.
There's trouble making it up the hill here.
Yeah,
in Colorado.
All that stuff. You can push it up the hill if you need to, you know. So when you go to order your food, think, am I a Mercedes or am I a Ford Focus? You know, mm-hmm. So would I like to put quality in me because I want to be a high-performing machine, or do I don't mind putting 87 in there because I could putt up the hill, you know?
So some of my clients will come back at me, and I have my own way of dealing with this, but they'll be like, it's so expensive to eat like that, to eat that high octane. How do you deal with that?
So When I really sit down with them and go over, this is a specialty of mine where I help people see that it's not more expensive by any means. For one, let's go over the big things. You're saving on medical bills. You're saving on any type of health that you can say doctor-wise, even dentists, like every aspect of that, your mindset. So maybe not to say that it's going to solve all your issues, but, you know, you might not be in the toughest spot with the counselor, say. You'd be able to work through it a little quicker. Like, it's going to save you money in those aspects. But what I really see people do is they're buying the quality food and still buying the crappy food. Mm-hmm. So no wonder it's going to be more expensive. You're buying both of them. You know, so at the same time. So if you change the Doritos to say and this is how I like to do it, small sustainable steps. Change the Doritos to now you're eating corn chips. Mm-hmm. So it's just corn and salt. There you go. You already changed a little bit. There's not a whole lot of difference in price there. If anything, it's probably cheaper. You know, we got organic chicken, say it's going to be more expensive than the regular chicken. But by the time that you are done and what you got out of your workout and stuff, say because you ate the organic chicken compared to the regular chicken, is so substantially better and more beneficial to you that if you could see it, you would always go towards that organic chicken. You are worth the $1.50 more a pound.
Right. I'll even take it back a little bit, right? So before they start to even think about organic or not organic,
yes,
it's like, are you taking the value meal for your kids, right?
Yeah.
So everybody, right? So say you feed the whole family, that's like $30, say, around there or something, if you feed four people, McDonald's, maybe less than that, right? We'll even bring that down to $20 for the whole family. Even if you go to the store and you buy, you know, a thing of chicken breast that isn't organic, in my opinion, that's still more healthy. And it's going to feed you for longer, for more days.
Yeah, and I was using, like, I don't even push into the organic stuff so much with people because that can get very stressful and stuff at first. So, like, exactly what you said is, like, what I like to bring up. You guys go to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or whatever, you spent $25-$30. If you went to the grocery store, you could buy a family pack of chicken for $7.
Right.
You could buy a head of broccoli for $1.59 or whatever, you know what I mean? Even if it's $3. And then you could say buy some potatoes for $5, get a whole bag. That's under $20 that you just have a whole meal.
It's cheap, folks.
And it's a lot healthier. And you didn't have to drive there. So now you're saving on gas. We all know what that's like these days. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
So just think how much you're saving and then how much you're benefiting from the food. But a lot of my thing is too, like, yeah, when I go out to eat, I'm looking for the quality stuff because that's how I feel about myself. You know, so I just really wanted to point out, like, hey, guys, like, before you order, am I a Mercedes or am I a Ford Focus?
Right. That's great. That's a great way to look at it because you look at some of the top athletes, right? They don't eat like your average human a lot of times.
You don't
right?
see them at McDonald's?
Right.
I mean, seriously, how many football players, soccer players, you name it, you see eating fast food? Yeah, they might do the advertisement, the commercial
right.
for it, whatever it is, but you are not seeing them snacking on that.
No. I guarantee you, what's his name, Bush, Reggie Bush was not eating breakfast sandwiches to become a Heisman Trophy winner.
No, not by any means. And, like, the other thing is, too, like, people get on, well, world's strongest men, guys, eat all this. I said, are you going to be world's strongest man for one
That's
thing?
That's completely different.
Totally different. But the thing is, though, you look at what they eat. Yeah, they might eat some crap here and there. Majority of it, at least 85% of it's quality.
And it's a lot of quality.
A lot of quality.
A lot of stuff. All right. So what's the third and final tip you have for us?
Yeah, you become what you eat. And we talked about how it affects your emotional state and stuff. You can become depressed. You can have high anxiety due to eating crappy foods. You can help push them to the side by eating healthy foods. Foods that make your body feel good, because your mind and body are two different things that react together all the time. So if your body's not happy with the food that you eat, your mind is not going to be in a good place. Think about that. If you're having a stomach ache, you know, saying you have stomach cramps, whatever it is, how clear are you on thinking? How much do you really want to do? Nothing. I guarantee you. You don't want to do anything but lay on the couch and get rid of these stomach aches, right? But if you're eating and you don't even feel your stomach, you just have energized and stuff, how much are you ready to go? You know, like, so just think about when you're sick and when you're not sick. Like, just things like that. That's small, minute things like that with food happen in your entire day. So don't just pay attention to it when you're not feeling good. Pay attention to it through the little minute meals or snacks or whatever you're doing throughout your life, because that is going to have the overall outcome of being more positive, being better, having more energy, being further along where you want to be. You know, would you rather say, a lot of people say, you know, on the weekends, you really want to work towards the life that you want. and then the weekdays you kind of do your normal job, right? So if you ate like crap all week long, how much energy are you going to have to put into your own thing during the weekend? Mm-hmm. Are you just going to be lethargic and just sit around and do nothing all day because you ate nothing but McDonald's for 5 days?
You want to take a naps by noon.
Yeah, or do you want to go into the weekend ready to help yourself out to become the person you want to be?
Yes, and it was interesting how you put, what was it? Mentally stressful, right? By adding, you know, some of these foods too, right? So what Joe, I believe, is saying is that it doesn't have to be 100% all the time.
No.
That's why one thing I do believe in a little bit of cheat meals here and there.
Yes.
Right? Because
grace.
That gives you a little bit of grace, right? It gives you a little bit, something to look forward to almost a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, what I normally give people is if they want these goals to be maxed out in a certain amount of time and stuff, you got to be eating like 95 to 98% clean.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a lifestyle, a long, sustainable lifestyle, 85, 90% is where you're at in the week, eating healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That means you can have some dessert. That means on the weekends you can go a little AWOL with whatever you want to do to indulge in. You know, like, you can't be so restricted on yourself that you're stressing in that manner as well.
Because I used to be one of those guys that was against cheat meals and against, you know, because I'm like, you're not a dog, you don't treat yourself like a dog. But then I look back and I'm like, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because you have to give yourself a little grace.
Yes.
And you have to have something to look forward to.
And that's that mental aspect that I'm talking about. Because if you don't give yourself enough grace, then you're going to be mentally stressed out because it's like, oh, man, I can't have this. And, you know, my coach said not to have this. So it's just too much, you know. So you got to have the grace period so you'll be like, oh, yeah, I can't have it today. But this weekend, I'm going to have some pie. I'm going to have some ice cream.
It even gets rid of that talk of saying, I can't have it.
Yes, the can't thing is really rugged because then you start building up this like internal like frustration that you can't tell me. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do what I want to do, you know? Like resentment that you're building up.
Yep, absolutely. Well, look at the time. It is dwindling down quite a bit. So let's kind of hammer these three topics that we kind of went over. So first, we went over what is it to be mindful?
Yeah, so just feeling your food. You know, feel and pay attention to how you're acting to your food.
So that's taking in one thing, waiting in a couple hours, seeing how it makes you feel. Number two is how to think of it, right?
Yeah. Are you the Mercedes or are you the Ford Focus? Say it all day. Think about that before you order or buy.
All day. And number three is what you eat, overall mindfulness.
Yeah. What you eat is what you become. And, you know, like we went over it with the emotions and stuff, but if you want to be a strong person who's fit, who's very like, you know, say dense and thick, whatever word we're using these days to describe strong, you can't be eating cheese and dough because then you're going to just be a cheesy doughy dude.
So we were talking, the best way to get a hold of you then would be Instagram, correct?
Yeah, so Instagram, you can look me up, Different Kind of Strong. You can hit me up Gmail. DKStrong719@gmail. And then 802-384-9992. Text or call anytime.
Awesome. And I am the Cerebral Edge Performance. You can get a hold of me at CerebralEdgePerformance.com. This is Power Talk 1040. The name of the show is The Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris. I'm Coach Chris. I will see you here every Saturday at noon. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. All this talk about food has gotten me hungry, so stay strong out there.